It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel, and I am thrilled to welcome Jonathan Brook to Jefferson Public Radio. Jonathan, thanks for taking some time.
No problem. I'm thrilled to be here.
You are performing Tuesday night, June 29th, 7 o'clock, Music on the Half Shell in Roseburg. The schedule of performances available at halfshell.org.
Yeah. Roseburg and I, we go way back.
You know, I actually want to ask you about your history with Roseburg a little bit later on, because there's an interesting story to tell. I want to start by talking about The Works, which is your most recent release. Not only is this a beautiful collection of songs, but it's got such a fascinating story behind its creation.
Mm, it does. You want to know it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I was lucky enough to be invited into the Woody Guthrie Archives. This was, I guess, well, sometime in 2008. And originally I was supposed to write a couple of songs for a benefit concert in Philadelphia, where, you know, I was going to go in, choose a couple of lyrics that no one had ever seen, because there's like thousands of notebooks and crazy journals and paintings and poems that Woody left behind. And you know, so I went in and I browsed around and I started seeing things that I never expected to see. I mean, I thought there would be political songs and topical songs, but love songs and sexy songs and spiritual songs, I had no idea. So I started to get this little inkling of an idea to do a full-length album. And luckily, Woody's daughter, Nora, who is the gatekeeper there, started thinking the same thing. And we really hit it off, and it became this sort of fabulous, fun search for the lyrics that really spoke to me and that I would make my music sort of bring alive. And that's what I did.
How did you have that connection with Nora?
She, I don't know that she was that familiar with my work, but for this big benefit, she was sort of taking the advice of some Philly DJs and Philly Smarty Pants. And I do sell tickets in Philadelphia, so and this is where the concert was going to be. So they said, let's call Jonathan, you know, we can charge more for tickets. So that was kind of partly the first reason. But when we met, there was something really simpatico about us. We both have modern dance backgrounds and, I don't know, similar sense of humor, and we like the same kind of wine.
What was it about Woody Guthrie's writing or music that appeals to you so much?
I think it was his abandon that really struck me first off. He just was unprecious about his own work. He just wrote stuff down, or he sang it, or he painted it, or he danced it. He was really unbridled and unstoppable. And I was really, it was such a great example for me to sort of get out of my own way in my own work. And I did find working on his songs was the most painless creative stretch I've ever had. It just was like, it was fun every day. I couldn't wait to get in there and start writing and figure out what I would work on next. And often when I'm working on my own records with my own lyrics, it's just torture. It's tedious. It's like going to hell and back. And I get into a deep depression, and then I have to clamber back out of the well, you know, and just to convince myself that I can do it again. But this was just fun and pain-free.
What did you learn about him as a result of digging through all of that material that maybe surprised you a bit?
I learned that he really was a poet. I mean, I really didn't expect some of the gorgeous turns of phrases and some of the really deeper, darker stuff. I expected, you know, songs about building dams and migrant workers and stuff. But some of the love poetry is just so powerful and yearning. And also, I didn't know that he had died of Huntington's disease. So some of the songs I found that were from when he was already confined to Brooklyn State Hospital were the most poignant, were the ones that moved me the most, and that were the most simple in a way. They were just really yearning kinds of very universal spiritual themes, like My New Star in Heaven. That one just killed me. I saw it on the page. I could barely read it. I had to have Nora come decipher it for me. But, you know, when he said, you know, it's when I'm gone, I'll shine bright for you, my new star in heaven tonight. I was crying in the archives.
It's Jonathan Brook live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. The Works, the most recent album, Woody Guthrie's words, Jonathan Brook's lyrics and melody. Can we hear something from the album?
We can.
What have you got for us?
Well, I'm gonna sing you a little sexy jig. It's called All You Gotta Do Is Touch Me. And this is one of the first lyrics that I found in there, and that really kind of knocked my top off. I thought, Woody Guthrie wrote that. All you got to do is touch me. And it was on a ripped piece of legal paper, and he'd only written three short stanzas, one about touching, one about kissing, one about hugging, and then at the end, you know, all you got to do is touch me good. And then at the bottom of the page, he wrote, finish later. And that was in 1952. So here I am coming along in 2008, and I decide, well, maybe I'm supposed to finish this one. So I did.
All right, let's hear it.
All you gotta do is touch me, yeah, touch me. All you gotta do is touch me good. All you gotta do is touch me, touch me. All you gotta do is touch me good. And all you gotta do is touch me. All you gotta do is touch me slow. All you gotta do is hug me, squeeze me. All you gotta do is let me know, 'cause I fully aim to get my soul known again as a maniac, the saint, the sinner, drinker, the thinker, the queer. I am the works, the whole works, yeah. It's not till you have called me all of these things that I'll be satisfied. I will be satisfied. Cause all you gotta do is touch me, touch me. All you gotta do is touch me nice. All you gotta do is kiss me all day. And all you gotta do is hold me all night long, yeah. 'Cause no one will ever know when you are ready, ready for me. But I know when you feel ready for me. You know when I feel ready for you, others will never know. Yeah, they will never know. And all of their words, 'cause all you gotta do is touch me, touch me. All you gotta do is touch me good. All you gotta do is touch me, touch me. All you gotta do is touch me good. So let me see the way you move. You got the warm skin soft and a cat's damn groove. Let me see the way you move. Oh. Let me do what you hope I'll do. And let me say what you want me to. And let me see the way that you move, the way that you move, the way that you move, the way that you move. 'Cause I wanna do that, and a little bit of that, and a whole lot of that, and a whole lot more of that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause all you gotta do is touch me, touch me, yeah. All you gotta do is touch me good.
All you got to do is touch me. It's music from The Works. Jonathan Brook live on Jefferson Public Radio. That's a tune that features Keb Moe on the album, right?
It does, and doesn't really get much better than Keb Moe.
And kind of a jazz band that you assembled. Joe Sample, Steve Gadd, Christy McBride, all from the jazz world.
Pretty much, yeah. I've dreamed for years of working with those guys. I've been fans of their work, and you know, heard them play together on a couple of records that they did with Randy Crawford recently, and just, I'm so smitten with the way these guys play together that I thought, well, maybe someday I will have the right project to bring to them. And this was it. This was for sure was it. Because I wanted it to be a sort of earthy, old school approach. You know, we did most of these tracks live, and a lot of the most of the songs are live takes.
Oh, cool.
But I needed it not to be too folky, because that's really not where I live. I wanted it to be more contemporary and kind of in my world, not, you know, not too sparse. So
yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because you've gone through some very different stylistic periods over your albums. Things like Steady Pull and Careful What You Wish For were bigger full band records, but The Works and Back in the Circus are a little softer and folkier. Is there one particular style that feels like home to you?
There's no style that feels like home to me. I am a wanderer of styles, although, you know, maybe someone would argue with that. But I number one, I hate to repeat myself. So that's part of why I'm trying to sort of stretch with each record into something that I haven't perhaps done or said before. But I love epic rock songs, but I also love intimate, whispery folk songs that are, you know, obviously complicated in a way that satisfies me musically. But I really love dynamics in general, and I think that's what most of my records do share, is a sort of dynamic range. There will always be something a little bigger and more rockin', and there will always be something incredibly intimate, and that's just what I love. That's what I love as a listener and a fan of music myself.
It's Jonathan Brook live on Jefferson Public Radio, performing Tuesday night, June 29th, 7 o'clock in Roseburg. Music on the Half Shell. Information at halfshell.org. I want to go back in time a little bit. You became an indie artist long before it was cool. And you had, for a while, a major label deal with MCA.
Mm-hmm.
And that dissolved. And I remember reading something about you selling like 2,500 copies of your first independent release. What was that transition like for you?
Yeah, and that was just the first month. At the time, it was kind of scary. It was 99 maybe? 98 or 99 when we first released my live record, which was a way for me to transition into being an independent without completely losing my mind, because I was still on tour, and I'd sort of gotten dropped very unceremoniously in the middle of the tour for 10 Cent Wings, right when one of my songs was starting to chart at radio, so it was just a bummer. So rather than curl up and die, I recorded some shows and decided to put out this record and see what would happen, starting my own label. And it was a real boost, because I realized that nothing really had changed. My audience was there. They didn't care if I was on MCA or Bad Dog Records. They just wanted the next thing. So I finished the tour, recorded some shows, and put out a live record. And I think we sold about 2,500 in the first couple weeks, and went on to sell many more. And it was just kind of proof that, all right, everything's going to be fine. I can do this.
Yeah. What's your take on music opportunities now in this new digital, everybody gets everything for free era?
My take is that all hell is broken loose and we're all on the sinking ship, basically. So trying to make a living doing what we do is getting harder and harder. And, you know, people just are not buying records. Like it or not, they're not buying records. And whether it's that they're pirating them or that they're just getting their music in a different way, it's kind of scary. And now the real resource is touring. So now everybody's touring. Mm-hmm. So there's a run on that market as well. So I think you just have to really be good at what you do if you wanna stay afloat out here.
I would imagine that for an artist, an opportunity to play on a national stage like Letterman, a show that, you know, puts your name and your music in front of a massive mainstream audience, would be a dream. Was that reality or fallacy?
Letterman was a total dream for me. Yes, I kept, like, the whole time I was singing my song, I was thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't screw this up.
And what that was, I think you did, what, Linger from Steady Pull?
Yeah, did Linger on Letterman.
What was the fallout from that?
Surprisingly, you know, you've always hoped that there's going to be like a sudden jump and, you know, a million people will go out looking for your record the next day. But 90% of the time, I think that's just not the case. So I think we probably had a small bump and then we kept on our merry way. But that was a big record for me. Steady Pull did really well.
Can we hear something from that?
Why, certainly. I'm going to do, actually, this is one of my favorite songs on the record. It's not one of the obvious ones, but I was really inspired by Neil Finn on this one. I wanted to write something that was kind of linear, where the melody went unexpected places, and didn't you know, didn't do the obvious thing, and it's called walking. Woohoo! I'm walking in your shoes for just a mile or two. My heels are raw and torn, but I will dig them in for you. I feel the pain you've known and the seeds of hate you've sown. They're scattered on the ground and I can barely step around. Insanity and pain and the things you will not name, they are growing in the fields, spinning with the wheels and wind of time and whimsy. No excuses in your flimsy lies. I'm running out of faith and I'm tired of saving face. And where the hell is grace in this forsaken place? I'm picking through the weeds and I'm falling to my knees. And this is where I leave your shoes and I step away from these. Insanity and pain, who will take the blame? Beyond your will and whimsy, no excuses, no. Forsaken place, I am running out of faith, and I'm tired of saving face. And where the hell is grace in this forsaken place?
That is Walking, an older tune from Steady Pole. Jonathan Brook live on Jefferson Public Radio's Open Air, performing in Roseburg. Music on the Half Shell, that is the Tuesday night music series, and it will be June 29th at 7 o'clock. Jonathan, one thing that pops up often in articles about you and your background is your extensive dance history.
Oh, that's nice.
This wasn't just a childhood pursuit, right?
Oh no, this was a full-fledged career. I studied ballet since I was six, but basically until I was 30, I was a professional dancer. I was a modern dancer, mostly in Boston, a little bit in New York, but I pretty much perform with most of the legitimate modern dance companies in Boston.
I've heard you speak about choreographing songs, putting together melody, putting together your harmony, your counterpoint. Do you feel like dance, the understanding of the movement of the body, has influenced your music?
I think it has. I can't, you know, to take it too literally is kind of, you know, maybe pushing it too far, but I do feel like the voice is a lithe little instrument, and for me, especially in the early days, when I had another voice that I was working with a lot, I was working with Jennifer Kimball in my band The Story. I was choreographing these two voices, and for me, it was incredible fun to have two lyrics to work with and two melodies at the same time, because it would just make every emotion that much more intense, and then you could have two opposing ideas at the same time, and really amplify a theme. So that was like choreography.
Which art form comes easier for you?
Well, I'm actually, funny enough, way more qualified as a dancer. I mean, I'm technically way more trained and proficient. But music is just where I mean, my brain is just in music all the time now. I mean, every day is sort of spent, oh, how would that be a chorus? Or, ooh, what did that mean? And how can I turn that into a verse?
I've heard you talk about some of the guitar tunings that you use. Does that come from the not trained musically?
That is where it comes from. Yes, I never took guitar lessons, so I had to sort of make stuff up because I really didn't like standard tuning. It seemed very boring and hard to play for me, so I started tuning my guitar in these open sounds, and somehow it was way more fun and allowed me way more dissonance way more easily.
I know you've written some songs for others, and a couple of names pop up that might not be obvious partnerships.
You mean Nick Lachey?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, I have a big fan who is an A&R person at Jive Records, and she works with Britney Spears, and she used to work with Jessica Simpson, and she was A&Ring Nick Lachey and J.C. Chazes at one point, and called me to see if I'd be into writing with them, and I said, sure, that sounds like that would be awesome. That would be really fun, and even better if I get a song on the record. And they sell a gazillion.
Yeah, right. Has there ever been a time where you've been sent a demo back from somebody covering one of your songs that just really stopped you in your tracks?
In a good way?
Yeah. I could send you one that would stop you in your tracks in a bad way.
Yeah, I've definitely heard those, and that's rough. I heard a 15-year-old girl actually sang one of my songs for me, to me, in live at a sound check I did just 2 weeks ago in Phoenix, Arizona, and that stopped me in my tracks. I just was like, oh my goodness, you're 15 and you have this kind of poise. Number one, you're singing, you know, a song you love for the artist who wrote it, but also you're awesome. And that was really cool to hear someone with that already, that much of a sense of her own voice at age 15.
It's Jonathan Brook live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Coming in concert Tuesday night, June 29th, 7 o'clock, Music on the Half Shell in Roseburg. Jonathan, can we hear another tune?
I think that I would like to play you the song that I wrote for Nick Lachey.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because this is a really fun one. It's called Keep the River on Your Right. And my friend Eric Bazillion and I actually were in L.A. and we went to Nick Lachey's house and we hung out with him for a couple of days and worked on some songs. And Eric and I were convinced that we were going to save his marriage, you know, by being there. And we wrote this one song called I'll Leave the Light On. And we just thought, oh, God, Nick, come on, you got to sing this for Jessica and everything's going to be OK. But I think he loved the song. But in the end, he thought it sounded a little too wimpy and that she wouldn't. I don't know. But anyway, this one was really fun to write, and he was a part of that. Okay, so this is Keep the River on Your Right. You build me up to tear me down. You throw me in the fire.
twist the things I say around, and you paint me as a liar. Sometimes I don't know just what I'm doing, but I can see exactly what I've done. I have made my peace with my reflection, and nothing you can do, nothing you can say would make me run. Yeah, so you keep the river on your right, you keep walking. Never let them look you in the eye. You keep the river on your right, keep walking. Never ever let them see you cry. Yeah, yeah. Tell your day you like a man. The pain will make you stronger. This is not the path I planned, and the road keeps getting longer. Yeah, the journey always starts with good intentions. I never thought my life would come undone, but no one ever took the time to mention the trouble always finds you. Trouble always finds you when you run, yeah. So you keep the river on your right, keep walking. Never let them look you in the eye. You keep the river on your right, keep walking. Never ever let them see you cry. Even on the high road, devil's at your back. Anyone could tell you that the journey always starts with good intentions. You never think that your life will come undone. Everybody's looking for redemption. There are many rules to live by. Me, I'm only thinking of this way. So you keep the river on your right, keep walking. Never let them look you in the eye. Yeah, you keep the river on your right, keep walking. Never ever let them see you, let them see you cry. Keep the river on your right, keep walking, walking. Never let them look you in the eye. Keep the river on your right, keep walking, walking. Never ever let them see you cry. Keep walking, keep walking.
Keep the River on Your Right, Jonathan Brook, live on Jefferson Public Radio's Open Air, online streaming at ijpr.org. Jonathan, you've been writing songs, performing now for 20, 25 years, right?
It's so weird. It's true. I got carded last night, though. It was awesome.
If someone were putting together a tribute album with your songs, who would you want to hear on that record, and which one of the songs would you like to hear someone else tackle?
Oh, man. Well, I'd like to hear Tom Waits do anything, because I just think that would be awesome to hear that craggy of a voice doing one of my songs. Maybe because I told you so. I think that'd be really funny. I'd love to hear Chaka Khan doing Is This All? That would be dreamy. I'd love to hear Neil Finn singing, what's the one I would want him to sing? Probably Sweetest Angel. And
he sang with you on Steady Pull, right?
He did, yeah. Who else is on my wish list? I mean, Bonnie Raitt, that wouldn't suck.
What about a song of yours that would translate as an instrumental?
Instrumental? Oh, Pat Metheny should do something. I don't know which one. Maybe Steady Pull. But I think the Dixie Chicks really need to do a song of mine called So Much Mine, since I think they're all moms now. Mm-hmm. And that is such a, you know, mother-daughter kind of break your heart song. I think they ought to do that one.
You've got a fairly extensive journal on your website.
Yeah.
About 11 years of entries.
I know. I was blogging before I even knew what it was.
Yeah. How did that all get started?
It was more to sort of, Chris and the new, we overhauled the website in, I think it was 2001 or something, or 2000, yeah, it's, wow, it was 99, wasn't it? When we first put the website up, we just thought, oh, we should have a journal, and once in a while I'll check in and write some stuff and tell people what's happening, and it'll be a way to sort of keep some traffic rolling and tell people what's going on, and now I'm getting really chatty.
I've seen that. More frequent.
Yeah, well, I figure it's part of the job now. But I come from a family of writers, and so I just love writing stuff down and trying to figure out how to say things well and quickly, which is an art in itself.
Well, I think it plays into the connection that your fans seem to have with you.
Yeah, and it's a fine line because there are so many blogs, friends of mine who are artists and photographers, and they spill every tiny facet of every secret of their lives. And for me, I that's not something that I aspire to. So it's a very tricky thing for me to figure out, okay, how much am I sharing here? How much am I keeping to myself?
Well, one of the entries I remember from this spring was a young kid who was on an airplane with you that was sort of grilling you, you know, do you wear the same clothes on the plane that you wear on stage?
Awesome.
How famous are you? Right?
Wasn't that great? I love this kid. He was, you know, he's just all into snowboarding and Jack Johnson. That was all he wanted. That's all he really wanted to talk about. It was great.
Well, let's talk for a minute about music on the half shell.
Okay.
In Roseburg. This was an interesting story from last summer.
Mm-hmm.
For those that did not attend the show, I actually drove up to the show from Ashland, which is, you know, a couple hours.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
And we got a little bit of a concert, right?
You know, we got almost an hour in.
And then?
Well, and then it was weird. We're in the middle of So Much Mine, and I saw my sound engineer striding down from the soundboard. You know, full speed, and he's 6'4", so full speed's pretty fast. And he had this look on his face like someone had died. And I thought, oh no, it's my mom. Oh no, it's, you know, something terrible's happened. And he walked on the stage, and he actually let us finish the song, which was nice. But he walked on the stage, said, "I want everybody off the stage now." And we're like, "What?" When Paul talks like that, you just do what he says, because, you know, he's a scary guy. And so we left the stage, and we bundle into this car. Of course, I went back to the trailer for the nice wine that I had bought, which was probably really stupid, seeing as the bomb might have been in my trailer. But there was a bomb scare. Someone had, like, called the park and said there was a bomb in a cooler, and ha, 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 right. I'm not telling you where it is.
Right, and it turned out to be nothing.
It turned out to be nothing, and then, like, a few days later, I think they caught the guy actually later that evening, but they only published the news a few days later. But the guy, they found him at the mall because he kept using the same cell phone that he had made the bomb threat with. And then they showed this picture of him in the paper. He looked like Saddam Hussein when they pulled him out of the hole. Oh, yeah. He just looked like a total meth crack mess. Poor guy.
So you're back. You're coming back.
We're coming back, man. We want a repeat. Yeah.
Tell me what else is new for you. Are you working on a new album?
I am working on new songs. Yep. Got a few in the hopper. And I also wrote this dance track called Here We Go. And it's going to be up on iTunes very, very soon. It's this collaboration with a 19-year-old rapper in England. And it's just a long story, but it's really fun and really funny and sweet. And I hope that it is a huge hit.
It's Jonathan Brook live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. Back to try it again. Music on the Half Shell in Roseburg.
Don't mess with us this year, man. We're not leaving.
It's 7 o'clock Tuesday night. It's a free concert series in the park in Roseburg. June 29th is the date. Jonathan, thanks so much for taking some time to be on Open Air with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Can we hear maybe one more tune going out?
Let's go for it. This song is called No More Letters.
No more, no more, you'll hear from fantasy. No more I'll walk you down the street. No more play games along the sand. No more, no more, no more, no more. You will feel the touch of my warm hands. You'll feel the touch of my warm hands. No more letters, no more games, no more promises, no more rain. When my heart break, wears away, wears away, wears away. No more letters. We had our spat and now I'm gone. You'll find some newer hand to hold. No more, no more, no more, no more. False promise words will burn my ears. False promise words will burn my ears. Burn my ears. Your son will feel as good to you, and my rain will feel the same to me. And when my heartbreak wears away, well, then it will ache no more, no more. Then it will ache no more, no more. No more. No more games, no more promises, no more rain. When my heartbreak wears away, wears away, wears away, no more letters. No more, no more, you'll hear. No more my letters you will read. No more letters.
Live from Jonathan Brook here on Jefferson Public Radio. Jonathan, thanks again so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.